All over the world, today on Mother's Day, multitudes will gather in churches, homes, and restaurants to celebrate mothers in their lives. Some churches will even call on overwhelmed, unqualified, anxious, yet humble deacon to prepare a sermon to share to the congregation. We are the church this morning, and I am your nervous deacon that I volunteered for. Pastor corrected me on that, and is humbled to share God's message this morning. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, just come to you right now, Lord, humbled before you, Lord. I need you. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me right now, oh Lord, and just take away any anxiousness, anything that, Lord, just I pray that you would just be with me as I deliver your message this morning to our mothers. Father, may your name be glorified in everything that I say. I ask you all these things in his precious name. Amen. Like other holiday seasons, millions will be spent on flowers. Millions will be spent on gifts as they sincerely want to bless their mothers and show them how much they are appreciated. However, many out of obligation or not to feel guilt will just send a card or perhaps give their mother a call over the phone or message them on Facebook. Others will not care or put in any thought or effort and go on with their day as they were any other day. I hope and pray that latter is not any of us this morning. For those who don't know, my job deals with numbers. Aside from preparing taxes for family and friends, part of my full-time job is figuring out how much lawyers charge an hour or how much to charge a client on certain deals. So as an illustration, I'm going to price out the worth of mothers in terms of salary. According to an article from Forbes, moms should be charging $115,000 per year for their work based on a survey conducted by a division of human resources. In the 10th annual survey, researchers examined 6,600 mothers and attempted to value their work by breaking down motherly duties in 10 titles. One, daycare center teacher, CEO, psychologist, a cook, housekeeper, laundry machine operator, computer operators, facilities manager, a janitor, and a van driver. In my household, it's an IT support. The results indicate that a stay-home mom earns a base salary of $36,900 plus $78,400 in overtime, totaling $115,400. Meanwhile, moms that work outside of home earn a base salary of $39,700 plus a $23,700 overtime, adding $63,400 on top of their day jobs. This result is from 2011, and if you were to add a 2% inflation rate increase for the last 8 years, moms should be making around $135,000, and that's in USD. In Canadian dollars, it would be at least $175,500, and for Filipinos, it's above 6.8 million pesos. That's a lot of money. The typical stay-home mom works almost 97 hours a week. I think the regular working hours is 37.5. So that's double that. Spending 13.2 hours as a daycare teacher, 3.9 hours as a household CEO, 7.6 hours as a psychologist, 14.1 hours as a chef, 15.4 as a housekeeper, 6.6 hours doing laundry, 9.5 hours as a computer IT support, 10.7 hours as a facilities manager, 7.8 hours as a janitor and 7.8 hours driving the family Odyssey. So what does all of this have to do with my message this morning? Well, I want to cover two things. One is, the first point is for everyone. We all have mothers and or had mothers. Why should we honor our mothers, and how do we honor the mothers of our lives for all the things they do? Second is, it's more of a challenge and a takeaway for mothers. Old or young, grandmothers, would-be mothers, godmothers, that's a joke. With the 97 hours a week spent on various things, how can your time be spent in more meaningful ways, and why? Sorry, just nervous up here. Here we go. Bear with me, please. The title of the message is Honoring Mothers. Let's define the word honor. As a verb, honor means to regard or treat someone or something with admiration and respect. As a noun, honor means showing of usually merited respect. The Greek word for honor means to revere, prize, and value. For everyone, we all know, we all have mothers or had mothers. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't. Why should we honor our mothers, and how do we honor mothers? Let's begin with why. Why do we honor mothers? First, and a simple answer, easy answer, we honor our mothers because we are commanded to do so. Exodus 20:12 begins with, honor your mother and your father. We may not realize there's a promise that comes from the honoring. In Ephesians 6:2, we are given the revelation that this is the first commandment given that comes with the promise of long life. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the land. And Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. In this verse teaches that there is a spiritual and physical consequence to honoring or dishonoring our mother or our father. When we dishonor our parents, we give up the promised blessing of God. Proverbs 30:17 warns, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be pricked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. In addition, Exodus 20:12 does not say honor your mother only on designated days like today, but we are to give our honor to our mothers every day. Jesus followed this command. He honored Joseph and Mary through his obedience and submission to them. It says in Luke 2:51, and he went with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. At the end of Luke chapter 2, a 12-year-old Jesus was filled with wisdom. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers as he sits with the nation's teachers. We can assume that at this early age, Jesus has surpassed his parents in spiritual and theological understanding. How impressed would you be if Jesus overlooked one of Moses' 10 clearest words, honor your father and your mother? But despite who Jesus was at this point in his life and his superior understanding of the scripture, Jesus still honored his parents, his earthly parents. If Jesus can do this knowing who he was, then who are we not to do so? Do we honor bad parents? This might be a completely different sermon, but I'm going to say this. In the context of honor your father and your mother, in the words father and mother, as you refer to when the Lord commands us to honor, mean people who took care of us, nurtured us, protected us, loved us, and still love us to this day. We define honor earlier as to regard or treat someone or something with admiration and respect. I don't think that includes abusive or bad parents. Let's use Jonathan as an example, the son of King David. In 1 Samuel 20, he disagreed with what King Saul was doing, and Jonathan did the right thing and saved and helped King David. David went on to become a great king. Jonathan is a biblical hero, not for honoring his father, but for standing up for his father and taking action against him, because what his father was doing was wrong, and Jonathan would not allow it. Second reason why we should honor our mothers is because they deserve it. It's harder than I thought. All right, second reason why we should honor our mothers is because they deserve it. Pregnancy and giving birth is the most beautiful and closest to seeing miracles firsthand. But being pregnant has its drawbacks. Mothers go through 9 months of feeling uncomfortable, and they experience so much change in their bodies, both physically and mentally. They can develop serious complications to their health, such as gestational diabetes, high blood pressure, and even depression. To add to all the discomfort, mothers go through great pain. They call it labor, or going into labor, for a reason. Cursed with Genesis 3:16, to the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing." And for some, the pain comes after birth, for those who undergo a C-section, which is a major surgery. If you're familiar with the childbearing terms crowning and ring of fire, the man in this room can equate this feeling to getting kicked where the sun don't shine, or passing a kidney stone. It's not the same. Man, if you want to kind of experience being pregnant, try putting on 30 pounds of hot water strapped around your waist for 2 weeks. That's 38 weeks less than a full pregnancy. I know the struggles my wife experienced with sleeping and switching positions in bed while she was pregnant. And some men today can relate to pregnancy. I just saw Ninong Alex pointing to his, and I've had mine for 5 years, so. Anyway. If we move past the pain of labor, simply put, mothers deserve honor because they brought us into this world. I remember feeling worried and concerned while my wife was in labor with the 3 kids. I saw Kate go through excruciating pain and agony, but the pain and agony for her and my worry and concern is replaced with overwhelming joy, love, and peace, knowing that they were okay. And you can't help but thank God and praise for all for the miracle you just witnessed. 3, another reason why mothers deserve to be honored is because of all the things they do for our families and in the kind of character they display. As you heard in my introduction, mothers fulfill so many roles and duties within their household. If your mother is like the Proverbs 31 woman, then she's definitely worth honoring because, 1, she is trustworthy. Proverbs 31:11 says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her," a quality we should always look for in a mother or a wife. There's no other person in this world I trust more than my wife. Don't know where she is. It reminds me of a time when we were snorkeling in Jamaica on our 10-year anniversary. I'm not a swimmer by any means. I can probably float on my back, and that's pretty much it. And it's not definitely it's not that long. Anyway, we went snorkeling in the middle of the ocean. I knew I would not have done it if she wasn't there assuring me that it was okay. I almost threw up a few times, but I'm here today, safe. Two, she's diligent. Proverbs 31:13 says that she works with willing hands, and verse 15 says that she rises while still night. My mom, it's like a vacation when I sleep over at my parents. The bed sheets and the pillows are always clean. We use it once or twice during the week, and the next time we would sleep over, they'd already be washed and clean. Food is prepared for us to eat while we are still sleeping in bed. The kids are brushed and have already eaten while we are still getting up. Our kids are always clean. My son would always complain, why do we always have to take a bath when we are at Lola's house? We would always have to pack extra clothes for them because my mom would change them so often. Mommy, my mother-in-law, when we leave for work every morning, she would also have to get up and be with Leah, our little one. She would feed the kids before they go to school, takes care of Leah and Tata while she waits for Kate to come home from work. She oftentimes prepares for dinner for us to enjoy. I would come home and the food is ready to eat. I have a good life. Thank you, Lord. She is shrewd and prudent. She makes the most out of available resources and prepares for difficult circumstances. And Proverbs 31, verses 21 to 22 says, she is not afraid for her household when it snows because she makes herself coverings. She thinks ahead and anticipates what her family might need and prepares in advance. My wife recently got me insured for quite a bit of money. So she'll be well taken care of. I mean, the kids and her are taken care of. In fairness, my wife, she got insurance first. She made sure that the kids and I are well provided for. She's an obsessive planner. It's an occupational hazard as a project manager. Four, she's generous. Proverbs 31:20 says, she opens her hand to the poor. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Her generosity isn't a personal quirk. It comes from her excellence at work because she makes a profit in her business, she's able to give to the poor. Five. It's going fast. She is careful about what she says. Guarding the tongue is an important theme throughout the book of Proverbs. In 31:26, it says that when a valiant woman speaks, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I mean, she doesn't gossip. She doesn't go on Facebook and rant on other people. For all of these reasons, trustworthiness, diligence, shrewdness, generosity, and guarding the tongue, we should honor our mothers. Now, we've covered why we should honor our mothers. Let's cover how can we honor our mothers. Not only does God acknowledge the importance of honoring our mothers, but on the cross, Jesus passed his responsibility to one of his beloved disciples. John 19:26-27 says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Although John had his own mother, his own birth mother, he also honored Mary as his mother that very hour she was taken into his home. As Jesus hung on the cross in the moment of deepest weakness and humiliation, Jesus remembered his mother. He made sure that she was well provided for by entrusting her to his beloved disciple John. Let's honor our mothers by caring and providing for them as Jesus did. They take care of us. Why don't we take care of them? In the book of Ruth, we see another example, but this time, it's the ultimate honoring of a mother-in-law. I don't know where this originated from, but historically, mother-in-laws and their in-laws don't necessarily get along. But as Christians, this should not be the case. We should honor our mother-in-laws as Ruth honored Naomi. In Ruth 1:15-17, we read that Naomi had lost her husband and her only sons, Malon and Chilion, and was all alone. Naomi's daughter-in-law was married to Malon, was determined to stay with Naomi and honor her in every way that she could. Ruth's kindness, loyalty, valuing and caring for Naomi was rewarded by the Lord, and not only for her days long upon the land that the Lord gave her, but as we covered in Advent, the Messiah came from her lineage. Reading this passage, you feel the love and Ruth's sense of duty to take care of Naomi, who had just lost all her loved ones. Ruth could have easily left Naomi like the other daughter-in-law, but she didn't. Instead, she honored Naomi and cared for her. We should follow Ruth's example and love our in-laws like they are our own parents. I have no doubt that if my mom had no one else in my life, my wife would take her in and take care of her. You can see Ruth's following God's command to take care of widows, as we see in Exodus 32:22-23. It's not in my notes. Two, another way to honor our mothers is in Proverbs 31:28, which says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. The easiest way we can bless our mothers in our lives is to praise them for all the things that they do. Praise them for all the things that they do. They are not looking for recognition from outside the home. As children, we honor our mothers by recognizing and showing appreciation for all the things they do for each and every day. We can show appreciation by saying thank you and helping her out. By helping her out, you are recognizing that she has all these things to do and that she can use your help. For the husbands, there's a famous saying that says, behind every great man is a great woman. This saying gives recognition to the wives or mothers of successful men. This is because women often help the men in their lives a lot, but their work goes unrecognized. We can see this also in Proverbs 31:23, where it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Proverbs 31, wife's excellent work and noble character have contributed significantly to her husband's success and reputation. Speaking for myself, I work a lot. My wife and mother-in-law take on a lot of the child caring duties. Even though my wife has a full-time job, she also takes, even though she has a full-time job, she also takes on all the kids' doctor's appointments, driving the kids to all their extracurricular activities and spending time helping the kids with their homework. Although I may notice all the things my wife does for our family, I don't verbalize it enough how much I appreciate all the things that she does. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a man of a few words. My mom's comments or part of her speech during our wedding was, Warren Shun. She likes to combine my name and my Lola's name because I'm a Lola's boy. She says, Warren Shun, we are going to miss your silence around the house. So anyway, thank you. Thank you, my wife, Kate. I know I don't express it enough. And where is she? I think she's in the nursery. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you some more just in case I don't say it in the next couple of days. I was off this week taking care of the kids while my in-laws are away on vacation. I'm tired. I made the mistake of staying up late, and I thought I was on vacation. I was wrong. I still had to get up early in the morning. I thought I would take naps while Leah played and take breaks. It's exhausting watching taking care of a two-year-old. I was so tired at the end of the day. I think I was in bed by 10. That was Monday. You can imagine how I feel right now. Even my wife actually made a comment this morning that it's the first time that she didn't hear me snore. So it's either I didn't sleep at all because I'm so nervous up here. So we honor our mothers because we are commanded to. Second, they deserve it because they brought us into this world. Endured great pain to bring us into this world. Three, because of all the things they do for our families. And how can we honor our mothers? By caring and providing for them. By praising them and recognizing all the things that they do for us. All right, we're halfway there. Bear with me. Second part of the message this morning is more of a challenge and a takeaway for mothers. And that is, how can your time be spent in more meaningful ways and why? We started this message listing all the different things mothers do for their households. It's a lot of work and it's time consuming, but is all of the time invested in the right things? Are all of the things you are doing contributing to your end goal or objective as a Christian mother? Could you be missing the mark? As parents, we want what's best for our children. We want them to have all the success and happiness the world provides. My parents' goal was to give us a better life. They sacrificed time away from my sister and I in order to provide for a better life for us. My parents left. And my sister and I in the Philippines with our grandparents at an early age. Even when we were finally together here in Canada, my parents worked many hours to provide for our physical needs. But despite their busy work schedules, they always made a priority to make us children go to church every Sunday. It was such a priority to them that when we arrived in Canada on a Saturday, we came to Glencairn the following morning, still jet lagged. My first Sunday here in Canada was spent at GBC, asleep on my mom's lap. It could have been because I didn't understand a word Pastor Luis was saying, but hey, I was here. It was the old church back then.
For those of you who can relate to my parents' story, my hope is that you take it a step farther. Going to church every Sunday is a great start for your children, but your children can benefit from your leading and your teaching. Spending time in prayer and reading God's word together has eternal benefits. It's time well invested. We see this in the life of Timothy. Timothy enjoyed the great blessings of having a godly heritage, even though it was only one parent and one grandparent who contributed to it. We don't have to guess who taught young Timothy. In the first chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul says, I'm reminded of your faith, a faith that dwells first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. D. Edmund Hibbert observes that Timothy's faith is given a twofold description. It is unfeigned, means genuine and sincere, literally unhypocritical, a faith arising out of an inner reality of conviction and knowing no sham or pretense. It is further described by the clause, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Timothy is parallel to Paul in that he too has a line of godly ancestors in whom his unhypocritical faith has effectively taken up its abode. Charles Spurgeon's sermon from 1885 clearly supports the importance of mothers teaching their faith to their children. It was relevant then and is still relevant today, and maybe more so today because of all the outside influences that shape our children's minds and beliefs. An excerpt from the sermon states, "No doubt his grandmother Lois and mother Eunice united in teaching little Timothy, who should teach the children, but the parents. Timothy's father was a Greek, probably a heathen, not a Christian, but his child was happy in having a venerable grandmother, meaning respected, revered, admired, and honored. So often, we regard our grandparents, our Lolos and Lolas, as dearest relatives. He had also a gracious mother, once a devout Jewess, and afterwards also a firmly believing Christian, who made it in her daily pleasure to teach her own child the word of God. Oh, dear mothers, have you ever have a very sacred trust reposed in you by God? He had, in effect, said to you, take the child and nurse it for me, and I will give you thy wages. You're called to equip the future man of God, that he may thoroughly furnish unto every good work. Mothers, the godly training of your offspring is your first and most pressing duty. Christian women, by teaching your children the Holy Scriptures are as much fulfilling their part for the Lord as Moses in judging Israel or Solomon in building a temple. Mothers, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by all the daily things that you need to do to the point where you neglect your sacred duty as a Christian mother, as given by God, to you by God. As we read just now, the godly training of your offspring is first and foremost, most pressing duty. The more you spend teaching them, the less time they're spending with those external influences. Why should we make this a priority? It is obvious by now. To state the obvious, we should train our children in faith because it can have eternal benefits. 2 Timothy 3:14 to 15 says, "But as for you, continue in what you learn and have firmly believed, knowing whom you learn it from, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." I know this is hard, especially for the single mothers who don't have the additional support. We pray and ask the Holy Spirit for your help, for help and guidance. It's the end. My challenge for mothers this morning is: teach your children, train them up in the way they should go, so that when they grow old, they do not depart from the faith. Raise a Timothy. Your son could be the next pastor of GBC and carry forward the work of the Lord. Your daughter can be the next Proverbs 31 woman. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. To the mothers, obviously, not the fathers. Husbands and children, honor your wife and mother. Take them out. Show your appreciation. Not just for today. Try to go out on a regular basis. I can see my wife in the nursery or wherever she is, nodding and probably rolling her eyes because I have not been doing this. I learned a lot from this sermon as I was preparing it, and I hope and pray that you have also. Let's pray.